Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Welcome to another iTricks Magic Week in Review. Once again, this is Michael Lauk sitting in the driver's seat. Justin Robert Young is AWOL. We will find that guy one day, I promise. Instead, though, we bring you the international president of the IBM, Mr. Bill Evans. Bill, are you there?
Hey, Michael. How are you doing?
I am doing great. How are you today?
I'm really good. Thanks.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk with us and all the iTricks listeners. We have a big convention, combined convention, coming up this year, and I definitely want to talk about that. But let's push that back to the second half of the show, if you don't mind, and take this first segment to talk about the IBM and, well, how you became the president, if you had to fight some kind of magic duel, or how exactly that happens.
I think it was just being in the right place at the right time over a series of years. You know, I've always been an IBM member since the late 70s, mid 70s, and, you know, it was a member of Ring One, actually, in St. Louis, still a member of Ring One. But my term with the Board of Trustees began years ago when I became friends with Eugene Berger. Eugene and I became good friends. He used to come to Springfield. I used to go to Chicago. And one time there was a comedy magician going through Springfield. And Eugene told him, says, hey, you need to give Bill a call while you're there. And he did. He called up and said, howdy, I'm Matt King. I'm going through town. And Eugene said, I should call you up. I said, great. Well, let's meet. And we went out to dinner and things like that. And began a friendship with Mac, and then when David Sandy was representing Tom Mullica a few years later on his Ritz-Carlton tribute, they were moving to Branson. They needed an attorney in the area to help them with the transition, and they were talking to Matt King, and he suggested that they give me a call. And so David and Tom came up to my office, and we established a business relationship with them. And that worked out really well. David was going to be the international president of the IBM in a couple of years, and we'd worked well together, and he asked me if I would consider being his legal advisor during his presidency. And so I said, well, that, you know, what does that entail? He said, well, you need to answer the legal questions and show up at the meetings. I said, well, I think I could do that. And so I became David's legal advisor. That worked out pretty well. And Tony Wilson and Roger Miller were elected after that, and I became their legal advisor as well. After serving in that capacity for 3 years, I was elected to the executive committee of the Board of Trustees and spent 3 years on the executive committee, and then was elected to the position of international vice president. Did that for a year, was then elected to the position of international president-elect, and did that for a year, and now here I am.
It seems to me, you mentioned you were a lawyer, as an aside, you know, we talked to Ricky Lax not that long ago, who's a lawyer and a magician, you know, with Bill Larson, lawyer and a magician. Are there a lot more lawyer magicians out there than we realize?
Oh, there probably are. I think, at least for me, how I got re-involved in magic in general was in law school. I, of course, been interested in magic as a child, and my first magical experience was at a small magic shop in Florida where my parents used to go visit some friends of theirs, and when I was really young. Then the first real magic shop was Hollywood Magic. We were passing through L.A. In a family vacation, and so I bought my first two books in magic there, Scarny on Card Tricks and Scarny on Magic Tricks, and I still have them. I wanted the big box with the Chinese dragons on it, but the magician behind the counter refused to sell it to me. And that's probably a good thing, because I've enjoyed books ever since. But when I was going, I had dropped that for music. I'm also a musician, and I had really dropped out of the magic stuff, trying to learn to play musical instruments. And when I was walking through the bookstore, my first year in law school, that would have been 1974, I saw Bill Tarr's book sitting there, Now You See It, Now You Don't. I said, well, that sounds interesting. So I picked a copy of that up and took it home, and I would, you know, in law school you have to read, you know, hundreds of pages every night, and I would use that book as kind of a break. You know, I would read for a couple of hours and maybe take 15 or 20 minutes and, you know, work on a magic trick or a card trick or something like that. And I found that it really helped me, you know, re-energize myself, you know, for the rest of the night. So I just started doing that, and as a kind of a break, and it worked out well for me. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that did that.
Yeah, I can't really sympathize with you. I went to art school, and it totally wasn't like that. But I could see where that would be a good stress relief along the way. Where did you go to law school, by the way?
Well, I got my JD at the University of Missouri in Columbia. And then I left there, graduated in 77, went to practice with a large law firm, Brian Cave, in St. Louis. I was there for, I clerked there during the summer, the two summers before that. And so overall I was there, you know, a couple of years, 3 years or so. Then I went back to Southern Methodist University and got my Master's of Law in Tax, and then decided to move back to Springfield. Because I'm an outdoor kind of guy, and there's like 20 rivers to float within 2 hours of Springfield, and so that was really my choice, you know, to go back, and that's where I've been ever since.
So you spent some time here in my hometown of St. Louis,
Kirkwood, Missouri, Timberlake Apartments in Kirkwood, Missouri. It's where I live.
I know exactly where those are. So here's what I was going to ask. DeVoe's Magic Shop?
Oh, yeah. I was a big fan of Gene. Gene really steered me toward the great books. He started my book collection. I'm sure he enjoyed seeing me come through the door, because I always usually bought a book about once a week from him. And we became, you know, good friends. And when I moved back to Springfield, I would hire him to come down and do some shows and things of that nature, along with Harry Monty and Dan Fleshman and all those guys that I knew back then. DeVoe's Magic Gin, that was the classic magic shop. I mean, it had to look like something on a side street in New York. It was, do you remember where that was?
Well, actually, I was going to ask you, where was it when you were here?
It was downtown.
Okay.
In one of the older buildings.
When I was a kid, it moved out to Maplewood, Missouri.
Okay.
Which is not too far from Dogtown, which is where I grew up and still live. So once it moved out there, that's what caught me, is it was right there on Manchester. And how can you not go in the magic shop?
Absolutely. Was Gene still running it then?
I was actually pretty young. But I don't think so. This would have been the early 80s.
Right.
In a building that's actually no longer there. It's a shop and save now.
Well, it's funny how those encounters kind of shape your direction. I've always enjoyed close-up and card magic, and that's where the majority of my books, you know, address. And there was quite a few books being published in the 70s and 80s, and still are today. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a great place. And for all the listeners out there who have never been to a legitimate magic store, who don't understand why people wax poetically about the brick and mortar shops, you know, especially in magic, You got to find one and go. I saw guys who, you know, and looking at back in the filter, you know, now that probably weren't nearly as old as I thought they were, but they seemed just ancient. And I remember one guy, maybe somebody out there listening will be able to tell me who this was, but I remember going in there more than once, and there was an older gentleman there, and he would smoke a cigar, and his slights weren't as good as they had once been. And if he got into anything that was a little shaky, he just had no reservations about just go ahead and blowing cigar smoke right in your face as he pulled off the move. But it always worked, you know, and it was always great. And that's that to this day, sometimes I have that in my head where I'm like, this is my cigar smoke moment. This is what I need to work on a little bit more.
Well, it was a place where all the magicians that were traveling through town would end up. And, you know, you could walk into Gene's shop, you never know who would be there. And it was it was dusty, and it had all the old display counters. The lighting wasn't very good, and there was stuff stacked everywhere. But Gene always knew where it was, and he always seemed to have, the latest books on magic, and I'd always come back with something new, and then try not to get into the book during the day. Try work like I was supposed to, and then get home that night with a book and tear into it. It was really something to look forward to.
Yes, and you know the other great thing that I remember about there is I remember buying things there, and you get that post magic. You open it up, and you're like, this is it, you know, and that still happens today with effects and gimmicks and things that we buy. The difference is, for me, is when you buy them from the internet and all you've seen is the video, you really don't know what happened in the video. But when you've been to the store and you've seen it live, you know what it can look like for real, without camera tricks, right in front of your face. And that I think too is really valuable about the stores like DeVos.
And, oh, absolutely. Gene was a great magician, both stage and close up. He knew a good magic trick when he saw it. And a lot of times the books, you know, I would buy at that point in time, I would get home and find that they were probably a little bit more advanced than I was at the time. But you tend to go back to those and grow into them. And the things that I thought were impossible, 30 years ago, seem quite practical today. It's kind of, you revisit magic books and you take on a different perspective each time you read one that you haven't read in a while.
That is so true. And the other thing that I know I heard at DeVos that I've never heard on the internet, and you actually alluded to it already from another store, was, you're not ready for that, kid. I've never had the internet tell me that, but
that's right.
I was told that at DeVos more than once.
Oh, absolutely.
And they were right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's why you went back. If they were going to sell you something that you just hated and didn't have any, you know, ability, couldn't enjoy it, well, they knew you weren't going to come back, for the next round. And so they were pretty wise about doing that. Another person that was very good at that was Ben Stone. When I moved back to Springfield, Ben had a magic shop here in town. Of course, Ben was famous for the Delbin line of magical apparatus. He was the money changer, the two-hole wrist chopper that Seabrook used, the guillotines, anything made of wood, Ben could make it. But I always watched him in the shop when somebody young would come in, and, you know, he would just take them along bit by bit. And so they wouldn't lose interest in magic. So they wouldn't feel discouraged. You know, if you've got a trick that requires a diagonal palm shift and you don't do card magic, well, you know, that you're not going to do that trick.
Now that there are fewer of those real brick and mortar shops, watch. This is a brilliant segue I'm going to pull off here. Do you feel like the magic clubs like the IBM are more and more important to kind of fill that role we're talking about?
Absolutely. You've got to find a mentor, someone that I think you can trust and that, you know, knows more than you. It's kind of like playing golf. You know, if you really want to become a great player, you need to play with players that are better than you. Same is true of magic. If you really want to become a good magician, you need to hang around people that are better than you, so that you can learn from those and have somebody to something to aspire to. And that's the magic shop proprietor used to fill that role, but that role is practically gone anymore. And so really, you need to meet magicians in your area, and the IBM ring is the perfect vehicle for that. It's always a good time and a good environment. Very seldom have I ever seen, you know, it be a negative environment. Maybe once on occasion where there was a conflict between two people or something of that nature. But overall, everybody's willing to help. Everybody wants to help because we all want to be better magicians, and we don't want poor magicians out there giving us all bad names. There's nothing worse than that. It's been mentioned many times, the worst exposure we have is bad magic. So I think it behooves all of us to not only be the best that we can be, but encourage our fellow magicians to be the best they can be.
And so, obviously, the IBM is one of those big clubs out there. I'm a member. I've been a member for a few years now. I joined at a Midwest Magic Jubilee, actually. Maybe 7 or 8 years ago. And I'm a member of Ring 2100, which, if you're an IBM member, you might know what that is out there. But if you're not a member, what's the best way to go about it?
Well, the best way is to get in touch with our national office, which is located in St. Charles, Missouri. You just go to magician.org, download an application, and send it in. Cindy Richardson, who's works there, and there's our main person in the office there, can tell you what rings are in your area and give you some contact information when the rings meet, and you're halfway there. So that's one of the benefits of the IBM, is that we do have a main office that is staffed, which is a very expensive proposition, but we feel that as long as we can still afford to do it, that's something that is provided a connection between the member and the organization. We've also been focusing on increasing the benefits to our members. We've had a liability insurance program for a long time, but this year we finally got into the health insurance and dental insurance and auto insurance aspects of it. I mean, we're not underwriting these, obviously, but we're getting a group rate from top carriers. So if you're having trouble getting insurance, that's one of the benefits of the organization, is the group rates. We also, I was fortunate enough to talk Roberto Giobbe into donating his PDF and video introduction to card magic course. And if you're a member of the IBM, all you have to do is go online and you can pull that course right up.
And there's also the other one of the...
It's 150, 200 pages, and I'm telling you, it is excellent, excellent stuff.
It is.
In fact, even if you're a seasoned performer, go ahead, yeah. You can find tips on presentation just reading the introduction to the tricks.
Right, and I mean, one of the huge benefits to the IBM that I was going to say is the linking ring.
Absolutely. It's one of the finest magazines out there. Sammy Smith does an excellent job. And there's always quality material to be found in the linking ring by, you know, people that really know what they're doing. But it's always interesting. The articles are interesting. There's always magic in there. And then there's always the ring reports, which I like to read as well, showing you who's been where. And also has all the contact information for the rings. So if you're traveling through an area and you happen to be going into a different city, and you can look in the back of any linking ring and find out when they meet and where they meet, and a contact phone number to get in touch. So that helps to provide the, you know, camaraderie among the members. And you know, we have over 10,000 members in 88 countries around the world, and there's nothing like the bond of magic. You know, if you're ever needed something and you're in a different town, you could just pretty much count on calling another magician, and that magician would come help you out.
That is very true. And we are going to talk about that bond of magicians and the convention, where we can all meet up and see each other face to face, right after this. Michael here to remind you that March is National Reading Month, so pick up a magic book. You know, it can be an actual, real, honest-to-gosh paper magic book, or one of those fancy e-books that all the kids are reading now. And speaking of kids, what better way to ensure that the next generation picks up and gets interested in the world of magic than by donating a good magic book to your local school, library, community center, or even your magic club's youth organization. There are a million tricks, literally, great tricks that can be found in the old magic books that are not on DVD yet. Do yourself a favor. It's reading month. Pick up a magic book.
iTricks.com.
And we are back for the second half of Magic Week in Review with the International IBM President, Bill Evans. We mentioned it before we went to the break. This summer is the IBM's big convention, but it's not just the IBM's convention. Why don't you tell all the listeners, in case anybody has missed it, about what's going on this summer right here in St. Louis?
Absolutely. It's the joint IBM-SAM combined convention. And the last one that we held was 6 years ago in 2008 in Louisville, Kentucky, and it was a huge hit. There was over 1,900 magicians in attendance. The hotel facilities were great. The shows were great. And it was just a big success. And so we decided to do more of these, and the next one is be held at the Renaissance Hotel in downtown St. Louis, Missouri, on June 30th through July 5th. But the only thing difference between this one and the last one is that we are able to accommodate fewer magicians because of the size of one of the theaters. So we're limited to just 1,400 attendees this year, and if you're thinking about registering, I would do it right now because we're getting pretty close to reaching the max.
Okay, yeah, I was concerned about that, and that's part of why I wanted to schedule this interview now instead of a little closer to the convention. This is definitely going to be a sellout, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're getting really close right now. So go to IBMSAM.com and register for the convention. They've got a great room rate of $115 per night, a single or double occupancy. And you can also take advantage of that room rate 3 days prior or 3 days after the convention date if you make your reservations in advance. And it's at the Renaissance Grand Hotel in downtown St. Louis. Shows are going to be at the Theater of the Americas, which is right across the street from the hotel. All the contests will be held there, some of the performances. And then the evening gala shows will be at the Peabody Theater, which is the Peabody Opera House, formerly the Kiel Opera House, on 14th and Market Street. And we'll have bus transportation to take all the attendees back and forth to that one, because it's about 10 blocks away.
Yeah, it's not terribly far away, although it will be summer in St. Louis and no one is going to want to walk.
Right.
that I guarantee you. The Peabody Opera House, for people outside of St. Louis are not going to be familiar with the Kiel, was just recently restored. It is an older structure. It is adjacent to the Scott Trade Center. If you're a hockey fan, you might recognize that. That's where the St. Louis Blues play. But the Kiel Opera House had some rough time. It actually had some structural damage and sat empty for a number of years. And a group got in a few years ago, fixed that, restored the entire thing. It is a beautiful kind of a medium venue. It's not huge. It's not terribly small. It's made to be an opera house. It's made for the acoustics. It is going to be a great place to see magic. I'm actually really excited about that.
I am too, because it is, like you said, it was redone. Gorgeous. It's a very beautiful theater.
Now, do you have to be a member of IBM or SAM to come to the convention?
You do. You have to be a member of either one of the organizations, or you can be a member of both, obviously. But you can join during the registration process, and it's very simple. All you have to do is go to the website and download the registration form, and it'll take you right through it. So it's not a problem. There, we've got an incredible lineup of things to do at this convention. Of course, the contests are the heart of this convention because it's the gateway to FISM. The only way that a North American act can compete at FISM is through this convention, is through the contest, through the convention here. We'll also have the IBM Awards, the SEM Awards, and the FISM Awards. So there's over $30,000 in cash prizes plus bookings available for the contestants. There are 30 stage contestants and 30 close-up contestants. There are 9 stage spots open for FISM and 6 close-up spots open for FISM. So if you're wanting to compete in that, you've got to do it at this convention.
Yeah, that should be really exciting. And then, if that wasn't enough, there's going to be dealers.
Over 40.
Wow.
Over 40 dealers, yeah.
Whoa. And magicians from, I imagine, all over the world.
Absolutely. You know, we're kicking it off again this year with the Lance Burton Young Magician Seminar. To be held June 29th and 30th for young magicians aged 7 through 19. And if you're registered for the convention, you have to be registered for the convention to take part in this seminar. But the seminar is free. There's no additional charge. And Jeff McBride, Eugene Berger, Dr. Larry Haas, Bryce Kuhlman, David Oliver, and Kayla Drescher are all involved in this and will be splitting the groups. The younger ones will kind of be split for a time period from the older teens, just because there's different emphasis on those groups. But everybody will be switching and talking to the groups and bringing everybody together for a pizza party and all kinds of things like that. So that's definitely one of the most important aspects of the convention. So if you've got a son or a daughter that would like to participate in this, I encourage you to sign up, and it'll be a great experience. This is where you're going to meet all of the people that you'll know for the rest of your life. We've got over 50 signed up so far, and it's going to be a great, great seminar. The shows, we have the contest in the afternoon. If you don't want to see the contest, there's lectures every afternoon. The opening show at the Peabody, features Xavier Mortimer, Sylvester the Jester, Mike Caveney, Tina Leonard, Alex Ramone. Then we have another big show at the Peabody, The Magic of Germany, with Timo Mark, Martin Ezell, Gaston, Timothy Trust, and Diamond Sebastian Nicholas. And then the big show at the Peabody is The Magic of Korea. And we've got some incredible magicians there as well. Kasa, Lucas, Doki Moon, EK, Zeki Yu, Haeyong Gun, Yuji Yasada. So those will all be shows that will be absolutely tremendous. And these are shows that you're not going to see at every convention. These are acts that you probably haven't seen much around, so I would encourage you to take advantage of that. We've also got the Fat Brothers coming, which I can't wait because these guys are great. Donnie DeOrtiz, Miguel Angel Guia, Christian Ingenblum, they are very entertaining and very, very good. We've probably got 3 of the best family entertainers. doing kids shows. David Kay, Doug Shear, Danny Orleans. Gosh, there's a special 4F show with 4F honorees. Sean Farquhar, who's going to be the next international president. Also a very talented magician. David Stone, Henry Evans. Then we've got lectures. Henry Evans is going to do a lecture, so is Donnie De Ortiz, as well as all three of the Fat Brothers, Gay Ed Engelblum as well, Stephen Klein, and David Stone. If you haven't seen David Stone's lecture, you know, it's kind of a comedy show in itself. It's very entertaining. Gee, what else? We've got a grand banquet. No extra charge, spouse events. We've got sessions by the German performers, the Korean College of Magic, sessions by family entertainers, and the Fat Brothers and the 4F honorees. And then Richard Turner, this is something I can't wait to see. Richard Turner is going to have a limited attendance, the extra charge event to benefit a local charity at midnight for three nights. Richard Turner, of course, is probably the number one gambling card expert, you know, around these days. Even though he's legally blind, it doesn't. I think he can see through his fingers.
Right,
he's just not telling anybody.
Right. Because of the documentary being made, he's seen some national coverage lately, and I know we've had some links to videos on the site just in the past week or two. I know because he was on I forget if it was the Today Show or CBS This Morning, and that documentary Delt should be coming out, I think, next year. I didn't even realize that was happening. I'm gonna have to look into that.
You have to see that. You know, of course, you know, if you do card magic, the cards that Richard Turner has put on the market are the best cards for magic that are out there. They're bicycle playing cards with a white border, but they're printed on B stock, which is the best stock that the U.S. playing card company offers. It's the standard casino stock, but instead of an all-around back, it's got the white borders, which is very, you know, convenient for magic. And plus, they're traditionally cut, which means that when the blades come through the cards, they're coming in from the face towards the back instead of from the back towards the face. When they come in from the face towards the back, you know, the burr of the blade is, you know, goes from the face to the back, which makes shuffling a lot easier, makes the handling of the cards a lot easier. If you do Pharaoh shuffles, it makes them perfect right out of the box. I guess that's a plug for Richard's cards. I don't get anything from them, but I use them. They're great cards.
Yeah, I'm not a card magician, but that actually, even I know that makes a difference, and you can feel a difference. My college roommate was a casino dealer.
Okay, right.
which as in a plug for St. Louis, if you do burn out a little bit on magic while you're here, we do have riverboat gambling, and the bars are open until 3 a.m. So.
Yeah, the casinos are a lot of fun, too. I mean, you don't have to gamble that fun in the casino, but it's something, you know, people are always, it's a high-energy place. There's great places to eat, fun things to do. I always enjoy it while I'm there. And it's right down the street.
Yes, yes, as is the Anheuser-Busch Brewery, the Busch Stadium, and the St. Louis Cardinals. Plenty to do here in St. Louis.
And great places to eat as well. I mean, St. Louis has more great restaurants than, you know, to take advantage of. There's the hill area, the Italian section, kind of south of where we're going to be. It's a short cab ride or a short car ride away. All kinds of great Italian restaurants. There's great restaurants downtown in every price range. You won't go hungry and you won't be disappointed in St. Louis.
No, not at all. Blues music and Cajun food and anything you can want. And I'll say right now, if anybody's coming and you need advice, you have a question, whatever, about St. Louis, feel free to email into iTrix, because I am a local boy. I am super familiar with the city and am happy to give advice, tell you. You know, there's even an RV park very close to the convention site, which I think a lot of people might not realize, but there is a downtown RV park in St. Louis. So if you are of the RV lifestyle, that is actually an option for you as well. And St. Louis is basically, you know, a long day's drive from almost all of the country. So there's no excuse not to come down.
Yeah, I'm excited. Being able to, of course, in Springfield, it's only a three-hour drive, but, you know, flying's become such a hassle anymore. And I've had, you know, horror stories this year because I've been flying so much. But I'm excited to be able to drive up. That way I can take everything I want and not have to worry about, you know, the stress of going through the airports. So right. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
And if you are going to fly, Lambert International is there's actually two airports that are advertised as being in St. Louis. One is actually in the distant suburbs in Illinois, and I believe they call that St. Louis International Airport. I've had people fly into that before, and you know, they're on the wrong side of Granite City, and where's St. Louis International? Yeah, but yeah, Lambert is an option if you're flying, but I mean, it really is an easy drive. You know, I traveled from St. Louis instead of to St. Louis, obviously, for many years as a videographer. So flying was not an option because, you know, once things changed with security, they wanted to rip apart your camera equipment, basically. And that's just not an option. So I mean, I have driven all over the country. And like I said, St. Louis is a long day's drive from almost the entire country, you know. So there's...
very conveniently located.
Yeah, everybody can get here. It's the gateway to the West. You can't miss it. It's under the big arch. You know, cross the river, here you are. I'm really excited about this convention. I'm not a big convention goer, honestly. But just beyond the fact that this is literally in my backyard, with it being the FISM competition and being a combined convention, I think it's going to be a really big deal for everybody. So I urge...
Well, you see the best acts that there are right out there today. Anybody trying to get to FISM from North America has got to go through this convention. And so you'll see, you know, the top acts. The magic is going to be incredible. And that's just for the competition.
Right. Exactly. I mean, this is if you're a sports person, we're going into March Madness. This is like, you know, the equivalent of the semifinals. This is who you see win here. They're going to the big show. So,
that's right.
So you're going to see the best. And even if you can't make FISM, which, you know, let's face it, the vast majority of us are not going to be at FISM. You know, when you're reading about it, you'll be able to say, hey, I saw those guys.
That's right.
You know, even if they don't win, you go, I know how good those guys were. Wow. So yeah, everybody should come down. No excuses. One more time, throw us the emails out to join the IBM and to find the convention.
Sure. The website is IBMSAM.com, you know, www.IBMSAM.com. You can download the registration forms. You can find out more about the contest. There's a tentative schedule posted. You can read about all the performers. You can read about all the dealers. There's hotel information. There's information on the youth. The seminar, and there's information on membership. So everything is right in one spot, and all there for you to peruse at your leisure, and hope to see you in St. Louis. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Definitely. Thank you for sitting down with us today. I really appreciate it. I'm sure all our listeners do too. Once again, this has been Bill Evans, the current international president of the IBM, and the Magic Week in Review from iTrix. We will be back at you next week. Until then, stick to iTrix.com for all the news that is happening in the world of magic, everything you are going to need to know. Again, Mr. Evans, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
All right, great. And everybody out there, join the IBM. I'm a member, and like I said, even if you don't have a ring locally, there's always Ring 2100, the cyber ring, so that everybody can be included in the IBM. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. itrix.com.